For many Americans who live within a few hours' drive of the border, a getaway to Canada is like a long overdue visit with the next-door neighbors. Coming up on today's Travel with Rick Steves, two of Canada's favorite personalities join us. Rick Mercer brought Canadians together each week for 15 years, having lots of fun exploring the country. He recommends his favorite Canadian getaways for us in just a bit. And singer Alan Doyle takes us around his island home of Newfoundland. And while it always seems to be party time in New Orleans, we've found an interesting way to view its colorful history through the lens of a cocktail glass. The city's official drinks historian explains what the cocktails and adult libations of New Orleans can teach us about the city's flamboyant history and its one-of-a-kind status as a delightfully unconventional American city. Let's start out in the Atlantic, on an island that straddles the New World and the Old with its own style and character. Alan Doyle grew up on Newfoundland, the only place he's ever called home. He joins us from the CBC studios in the provincial capital of St. John's. Alan, what should we know about Newfoundland that makes it feel like a really special part of Canada?
Newfoundland is an island, a province of Canada, very recently a country of its own and a republic of Great Britain. But it's the island in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean, basically, just south of Greenland. If you're confused, I always tell people in the, kicking around, if you can't find us, it's where the Titanic sank.
Ah, that's right. Okay, people know that. And until 1949, you were actually an independent country and then voted in a very close election to join Canada.
Correct.
So Newfoundland, I would imagine, has a relatively small population. How many people are on the island? And I understand the capital, St. John's, is really the only urban center.
The population of the island of Newfoundland would be right around 470,000 or 480,000. I would say that about half of that population lives within 20 minutes or a half hour of the capital city of St. John's. And St. John's is a tight little harbor town. The entrance to the harbor here is actually called the Narrows. But surprisingly, big ships can fit through it, as they have for centuries now that, you know, St. John's has been a safe haven for ships crossing the ocean for hundreds and hundreds of years. And then, of course, the city crawls up the hills on a few sides from the harbor. And so it's a very older kind of European-looking city that you'd kind of see more of in the southeast of Ireland or England, a small, like a British, Irish kind of looking city.
In your book, you talk about how Irish people consider Newfoundlanders in a lot of cases just swimming Irishmen. A lot of Irishmen who are fishermen came all the way over there for the cod and ended up staying. And to this day, you've got a lot of Irish in your culture. You write in your book about your hometown. It's a port town called Petty Harbor. Describe why you choose to live in Petty Harbor and why it would be interesting to visit if we were traveling around Newfoundland.
Beautiful little sort of perfectly picture postcard, typical Newfoundland outport town. A little harbor town surrounded on three sides by steep hills and a narrow entrance to the Atlantic Ocean to protect it from the storms, but then to allow smaller fishing boats to come and go. And throughout different points in history, those boats would have been primarily catching North Atlantic codfish, but also a lobster fishery and a crab fishery, and to go out in the winter to hunt seabirds and seals and to get berries on the coast, and like a very much a living off the land society and culture throughout history.
We're seeing Newfoundland through the eyes of favorite son Alan Doyle right now on Travel with Rick Steves. Alan was known as the lead singer of the folk rock band Great Big Sea. He now tours with his own band from London, England to London, Ontario. And he's released a number of solo albums, including A Week at the Warehouse and his latest, Welcome Home. His autobiography is called Where I Belong, and his follow-up book is A Newfoundlander in Canada, Always Going Somewhere, Always Coming Home. Alan was awarded the Order of Canada in 2017 for his contributions to the culture of Newfoundland. His website is alandoyle.ca. Alan, in your book, I was reading about how in your little town, your little tiny Petty Harbor, there's actually the same dynamic historically as you've had in a lot of Irish communities where you've got Catholic this and Protestant that.
Yeah. When I grew up, religion defined the actual footprint of the town. And I think that's a very traditional kind of Irish and kind of way to do it. There was a river that splits Petty Harbor right in half. And on the side that I'm from, the Catholic side, there was a church, a school, a fish plant, and a convenience store. Crossed the bridge in Petty Harbor when I grew up, and there was an Anglican church. And then over on that side, there was another convenience store and another fish plant. And again, this is a town of 500 people, you know, and it literally had a duplicate on the other side.
Would there be a kind of tribal loyalty where if you're a good Protestant, you would keep it in the family?
I mean, that was kind of long before my time and a little bit in my parents' time, but certainly in my grandparents' time, it would have been very, if not unusual, it would have been definitely talked about if somebody crossed the bridge, so to speak.
Would anybody marry between the tribes?
It would have been, like I say, in my grandparents' generation, that would have been a notable thing. But I mean, when I was a kid, the most practical thing that it did for me was that we had two schools, right?
Right.
So there was a little Catholic school that survived in Petty Harbor. But all my Protestant friends, they all got bused to St. John's, 30-40 kilometers away to go to school as kindergartens. It's just ridiculous to think about it. You know, like, those kids could have easily just come to our school. You know, they could have walked.
They would have been indoctrinated by the wrong religion.
That's right. They would have had the wrong Jesus.
When I was in Scotland, Glasgow is a town with a Catholic Protestant struggle.
Oh, is it ever?
And there's two soccer teams and boys.
Rangers and Celtic, man.
Yeah, and you got to be on the
team. I've toured there many times, and I always say that Glasgow is the only town I've ever been in my life that where a punch in the face is not supposed to ruin your night. You know, you'd mention it the next day, but you wouldn't go home or anything. Like, you wouldn't call the police or anything like that. You know, like, you'd probably end up drinking with the very people that punched you.
If I had 4 or 5 days to drive around the island, would I see any Viking sites or anything goes way back? Would I come upon any great trails? Take me on just a quick run around the island. What would I see?
If you flew into the west coast of Newfoundland or arrived on the west coast of Newfoundland by ferry from the mainland of Canada, you'd very quickly make your way to Grosse Morne National Park. And that's one of the UNESCO World Heritage Site right now. Parts of that look like Norwegian fjords. It's just a spectacular natural piece of geography. Uh-huh. If you went quickly up the northern arm of Newfoundland, what we call the Northern Peninsula, you'd arrive in Lancet Meadows. And that's one of the oldest recorded Viking settlements anywhere in the world. And if you made your way back down and came to the central part of Newfoundland, you'd be very in between Gander and Grand Falls. And that's, of course, where the famous hospitality happened during 9/11, when the airport in Gander hosted so many planes that needed to get out of the sky on 9/11. And the population of Gander and the surrounding towns basically tripled. And then if you made your way closer towards where I live, towards St. John's on the East Coast, you'd very quickly come to Bonavista and Trinity and the Bonavista Peninsula, which if people have seen a few major motion pictures that have been shot in Newfoundland, they'll see the landscape and the town of Trinity and Bonavista, such movies like The Shipping News. And then keep going east and eventually you'll make your way into the capital city, which is St. John's.
Is it kind of a circular tour? Is that what people do?
Yeah, that'd be a big one. I mean, one of the things you quickly realize when you start doing your planning is that Newfoundland, the island, is really big.
Michelle from Detroit emailed us and she writes, I plan to hike the East Coast Trail this summer and I want to do it right to be at St. John's for the Folk Festival. What advice do you have for me about the East Coast Trail and the Folk Festival?
Well, both are fantastic. I've played the Folk Festival many times, and when I don't play it, I go to it. It's right in the dead in the middle of St. John's. It's right in the heart of the city in a park called Bannerman Park, and it's fantastic. And it's mostly local music, local traditional music. So, you know, lots of accordions and fiddles and whistles and sea shanties and songs, and they're all awesome. The trail is enormous and runs basically all along the coast of the province now. And you could fly into St. John's and do day walks out of St. John's and do circles that would walk you out of the city and back into the city. Unbelievable that you could do it from an urban place. Like, one of the great things about St. John's is that the city is surrounded by coastline and wilderness, really. I mean, you can walk from the busiest downtown street in St. John's, and within 20 minutes, you are completely surrounded by wilderness and ocean, you know, and like you can walk from the busiest hotel to nothingness. And it's just very unusual to be able to do that in a North American city.
This is Travel with Rick Steves. We've been talking with Alan Doyle, and Alan writes, Where I Belong, Small Town to Great Big Sea. He also writes a book called A Newfoundlander in Canada, Always Going Somewhere, Always Coming Home. Alan's website is alandoyle.ca. Alan, let's just cap this discussion with music, because you're well-known in Canada as a musician. And when the Canadians look at Newfoundland, they must marvel at how much creativity and musical culture comes out of that little rock in the Atlantic.
Well, we're very new. And I think we're finally, you know, after 50-odd years of being a part of the country, you know, the rest of the country has finally looked east and gone like, what is going on out there? Like, because we're so disproportionately represented in the national arts scene that it's impossible not to comment on.
Yeah, because you're like 2% of the population.
That's right. And yet I think we're 20% of the national broadcaster, the
CBC.
Isn't
that something? what's in the water? I mean, is that because you're the Irish sort of gift of gab,
yes,
and love of
I
music?
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's a part of it. I think it's the biggest things, though. I'll try to find the practical reason why people would learn to sing a song, you know. And it's like, if you grow up in a small fishing town in Newfoundland and you want a song sung, well, you probably better got to learn it and sing it, because, or even write it and sing it, because there's nobody coming to sing it for you.
That's right.
And, you know, I always compare to America sometimes, like, you know, that whole sort of traditional kind of classic tale of, you know, being in, say, for example, from the Midwest in the United States and being, you know, feeling kind of isolated and how, but of course, you know, if you're from, I don't know, somewhere in Kansas or whatever, like, for example, in the 1950s, you know, there was a real good chance that one weekend during the summer, a bus would pass through and Dean Martin would be on it. You know, they did that every summer. They crisscrossed the, of course, nobody did that in Newfoundland. There were no roads. And so the people from small fishing towns especially had to entertain themselves, and they had to have their own stories and their own songs and their own dances and their own instruments and their own instrumental tunes, because they needed them to have a dance, you know. Mm-hmm. No one's come to do it, you know, so you got to do it yourself. And so we ended up with this huge canon of what we call Newfoundland traditional songs and music, and they're all about here and us.
And Canada has embraced it. Alan Doyle, thanks so much for joining us and giving us a better understanding of not only the sightseeing attractions, but the culture of your corner of Canada, Newfoundland.
Thanks so much.
Do you enjoy the taste of a Sazerac or prefer downing a hurricane? We're toasting New Orleans with the stories behind its favorite libations in just a bit. But first, fellow Newfoundlander Rick Mercer has had the fun job of showing Canada to itself. Every Tuesday night at 8 on TV, 8:30 in Newfoundland. He recommends some of his favorite places across the country in just a minute on Travel with Rick Steves. We're at 877-333-RICK.